Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Hi, it's Mina Kimes. I'm ESPN NFL analyst. I'm joined right now by my fellow NFL analyst, Lenny, and podcast co-host to wish our mutual friend, Mike Gold Jr., happy birthday. Mike, you're probably Lenny's favorite ESPN employee. You were also, much to Dominique Foxworth's chagrin, my dad's favorite guest on the Mina Kimes show. Couldn't have been a better friend to me over the last few years, as well as a better coworker. And yeah, happy birthday, bro. I think I have cookies in my teeth, which feels oddly appropriate for this message.
There's so much to digest and unpack with that one. First off, thank you to our esteemed colleague, Mina Kimes, who's going to join us in about a half hour here on Jhené and Golic Jr., where we'll address the fact that earlier today when Mina was kind enough to text me some of these well wishes about my birthday, she asked me how old I was and thought I was 28. So she's really erring on the side of caution there, although I don't think that plays the same way for guys necessarily. I'm pretty cool with being 31. But
really? You like being older? Because we don't.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I feel like just by nature of having a 3 in the first column of my age, I'm like automatically respected more than I probably deserve.
Does it feel good? Because I wouldn't know.
Jhené wouldn't know. Holding it down for the late 20s here on Jhené and Golic Jr. So certainly exciting stuff there. Appreciate, again, all the kind words from everyone today, including our pal Mina. Excited about that one. And Lenny, of course. The probably.
I'm part of the Lenny hive now.
Yes.
I watched that video and I was like, oh my gosh, I get the hype with Lenny.
Oh yeah. It's not hype because it's real. As someone, say don't meet your heroes. I met Lenny and he is everything you expect and more. So lots more from Mina and Lenny coming up in just a little bit here on Jhené and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and guests join us on the show, Penzoil Performance Line. And that is where we go for our next guest. Again, breaking news out of the NBA, according to our own Adrian Wojnarowski. Doc Rivers out as the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. So for more on that, we are now joined by our ESPN NBA reporter, Om Young-Masuk. And Om, we appreciate the time on such short notice on this one. Doc Rivers out for the Clippers. How surprised are you that this move was made, knowing where this team is at and what's at stake for the next couple of years?
Well, first of all, happy birthday, Golic. I don't know if you wish this for your birthday wish, but this came as a little bit of a surprise. Listen, the way things went down and the collapse for the L.A. Clippers, losing a 3-1 lead, and this wasn't Doc Rivers' first time doing it, and with the pressure on this team to win, remember Doc Rivers was the guy who coined the term win the wait when the pandemic came for the Clippers. Do everything you can to be ready to win. Now that he's lost his job, it came as a little surprise because last week there were the signals out of the Clippers' land was that he was going to be safe. But of course, they were still looking into everything and talking about things. And so something clearly changed over the weekend. And I would think that this decision was probably made by Steve Ballmer. He wants to win. And as much as he probably had a good relationship with Doc, I think he probably looked at everything. And this Clippers team probably talked to the players. They probably talked to staff members. They probably turned every rock to figure out what went wrong with this team. This was the conclusion they came with.
Here with Om Young-Masuk, ESPN NBA reporter on Jhené and Golic Jr. News that Doc Rivers is out as head coach of the Clippers. Now, Om, what direction do you think the Clippers could be going with a new head coach?
It's going to have to be someone who is ready to win now. I mean, listen, Doc Rivers is a leader of men. Could he have done a better job coaching in that 3-1 collapse? Yes. But even though Doc Rivers is a leader of men, this team was lacking a leader on the floor. Kawhi Leonard, as great as he is, wasn't a vocal leader. Paul George, not really a vocal leader either. You have Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell from last year's team, a gritty team that overachieved. And I think that last year's crew and this year's crew, the new guys, they never really sort of meshed. And it was on Doc Rivers to make that happen. And there were things that were out of Doc Rivers' control, like a pandemic hit, just as they were surging, guys leaving the bubble due to deaths in the family, things of that nature. But whoever comes in now is going to have to not only be a leader, he's going to have to be a grinder, he's going to have to be a guy that connects with Kawhi and Paul George, but also connects with that group of veterans of the Patrick Beverleys, the Montrezl Harrells, and the Lou Williams. If the Clippers keep this core together and make it all work, and make it work next season, the pressure is ramped up even more. When you fire a guy like Doc Rivers, who became a significant and perhaps the most vocal voice against social justice in that bubble and do this now, you clearly are now saying we have to win a championship this coming season. Because if they don't, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George could walk out the door and become free agents again.
Ohm, you mentioned the accolades and what Doc Rivers brings to the table of the jobs available right now, because we assume Doc will be pretty coveted going into this market. Where do you think might be a great fit for him?
I would look at Philadelphia as a place, perhaps Houston. You know, I think Doc Rivers is the type of guy. He had been here since 2013, and he's accomplished an immense amount for the Clippers. He's put the Clippers basically on the map. I mean, remember, before Doc Rivers, the Clippers were considered a laughingstock. And, yes, I think Lakers fans will still say they still are because of the collapse and everything like that. But, come on, the Clippers, they were winning games. They were getting to the playoffs, second round. They might not have been able to get over that hump, but they were winning. Now, Doc Rivers will have a fresh start somewhere else. And if he can go to a place that I think is ready to contend and just kind of needs that extra bump from a guy who has an authoritative voice like Doc Rivers, perhaps like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who need that from Doc Rivers, the Sixers would be a nice landing spot, I think, for Doc. But also, listen, Ty Lue, who also is on the bench here with the Clippers, this is going to be real interesting to see what Ty Lue does now, because Ty Lue has an immense amount of loyalty to Doc Rivers, but he's here, he's in the house with the Clippers. He probably is going to interview with the Sixers. That is probably a job that he covets. We're going to have to see how this all shakes out.
It's going to be incredible to watch what happens now. One of the best jobs in sports opening up and one of the best coaches in the sport on the market. Ohm, we appreciate the time and the insight, man.
Thanks, guys.
Again, our ESPN NBA reporter does a great job covering, especially in the Los Angeles area. Ohm Young-Misuk with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. And he mentioned it there, Chinay, and we got some tweets about this as well, because when you look at this roster, and Tony Danielson tweeted this in, stunning turn of events with the Clippers giving Doc Rivers the axe. A lot of coaches will be lined up to want to coach the roster in that locker room. News from Chinay and Golic Jr. Nation, at Mike Golic Jr., at Chinay321. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed for more of that reaction. But Chinay, you see that, and we've seen this situation happen before, I think kind of about what happened on the beginning end of the run for Golden State, but even with more, I think, bona fide talent that you would notice right away in this situation, this is going to be an unbelievably coveted roster.
Yeah, super coveted for Los Angeles, because you see what Kawhi Leonard can do. You just need someone to be that whisper in his ear to unleash him and also make sure he doesn't feel the pressure of having to do it all. We saw over the course of the bubble, he had to be the consistent guy to produce on offense, because again, I said 33 different starting lineups. He was the one out there that had to close games, not just on one end offensively, but also defensively, stepping up to as many challenges as possible before he ran out of gas. Paul George, super talented player as well, a guy that can play on both ends. And if you think about him, he needs another guy that can speak the same confidence into him so that he can realize his potential. Not too long ago, he was like top three in MVP voting. So everyone will probably look to this roster, look to this opportunity as a place where, hey, we have all the pieces. All we need is the motivation. It's not necessarily the schematics. It's getting these guys to go when you need them to go the most.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting part, because we always talk about NBA head coaches relative to their star player and how they're going to mesh. It's hard to really get a read on Kawhi Leonard for a lot of reasons. You look at his coaching past, like you have one of the all-time greats in Greg Popovich. Then you have Nick Nurse and the job that he's been able to do in Toronto. So the key seems to be get a great coach alongside of him. But I think a lot of people thought of Doc Rivers in that way, and so I don't know if there's a personality fit that we necessarily works right there, just because we know so little about Kawhi Leonard overall.
Yeah, I think this is just a big gamble. It's a gamble thinking that if we shake things up, we will get the attention of our players. A lot of the players on our roster are top-tier players, well-respected players. We have a perennial sixth man of the year, a new sixth man of the year. You have a lot of people coming in and supporting off the bench. You have, like, first-teamers. You have, you know, finals MVPs. You have champions. So now it's getting the most out of all those accolades.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. And I think one of the things that Ohm brought up that's worth remembering is who owns this team. Steve Ballmer is a fiery guy. We see him on the sideline, but also hyper-competitive, especially in that market. And he's seeing what the Los Angeles Lakers are going on and doing again,
them
further behind the eight ball. And you have to imagine him sitting there antsy, watching that franchise accomplish in their backyard. Got to be not sitting very well with that coach.
Are you saying he's in his feelings? Because he has a right to feel in his feelings right now.
Just a smidge.
Just a little bit. Just a smidge.
just a little bit. But coming up next, we talked about gambles. We'll talk about one NFL head coach who refused to gamble and one of our colleagues who refused to sit for that situation. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy birthday, Mike. It's your sister, Sydney.
And it's her fiance, Ben.
We just want to say happy birthday. Hope you have a great day. We hope to see you soon. We're so proud of you and Chinay for the good job that you guys are doing. Go celebrate with buying some new sneakers and get a drink. Happy birthday.
And of course, my sister, Sydney, her fiance, Ben, and their sweet, sweet bulldog baby puppy, Earl, who you saw there if you were watching on ESPN News.
You Hell really me. Are. You got lots of kids.
Yeah, no, everywhere.
I don't know if I would have signed up for this if I knew you had this many kids.
I got to put that in the dating profile next time?
Yeah, next time for sure.
I'll be a little more upfront about all of this for you next time. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. Thank you, Sydney and Ben. Love you guys. And certainly Mr. Man, sweet Earl, the little baby with his little baby hat. They sent me a picture.
So cute.
Dogs with hats on. Dogs with party hats.
Winners.
Undefeated. Am I right?
Winners. Winners.
All right. That was a winner. This wasn't. So if you were around with us in the last segment, this is the way I attempted to tease what we're about to talk about next. Coming up next, we talked about gambles. We'll talk about one NFL head coach who refused to gamble and one of our colleagues who refused to sit for that situation. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Just completely unsure of himself, stumbling drunk all over the place, Chinay. At that point,
blame
you could not
have... Blame me.
You're
that's
taking
the sugar.
Blame for that?
That's the sugar. That's the Chipotle. That's everything you've consumed. That's on me. I'm actually surprised you lasted this long.
That is true. It's impressive given the circumstances. I'm not going to blame you. I'm going to say we've all overcome a lot on my birthday to get here because of your generosity, which allows me to say now it's time to get to the next round and the next version of this here. We like to do one and done around here, get people caught up on something, and there is nothing that gets us going or one of our colleagues that I tried to tease right there quite like people playing for a tie. Cliff.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and done from this weekend, because while we had a lot of good football this weekend, and we're looking forward to some great football on Monday night with the Ravens and the Chiefs, we had a tie this weekend. The Philadelphia Eagles tied the Bengals this weekend, and they tied because of this decision, Chinay. They had a 4th-and-12 at the Cincinnati 46-yard line. Instead of going for what would have been a 64-yard field goal or an offensive play to try and advance them, Doug Peterson decided instead to punt, staring down an 0-3 start potentially. He punted and actually took a 5-yard delay of game penalty to set that up with 19 seconds to play. Doug Peterson, who was usually known as one of the more aggressive play callers and one of the more aggressive fourth down play callers in football, opted to go without it in this situation. A struggle for a lot of people involved. Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, who had this to say after the game on that choice.
Yeah, the decision there, one of two things. You can either attempt it on fourth down and try to go for it. We tried to go for the field goal, the game winner. That was the thing. We were going to go for the game winner with the kick. Felt comfortable with Jake, had the wind. The false start backed us up, so we just said, hey, let's just punt the football here. We didn't want to give them the ball, towards midfield. Or even a chance to go for it on fourth down and long, incomplete pass, something like that. They get the ball short field. They could kick a field goal and win the game. So just made that decision. Hopefully something positive might have come out of the punt.
Chinay, that was not a decision that went over well, and it'll surprise you who took the most disagreement with this on our air. Our very own Dan Orlovsky, who has been one of the foremost Carson Wentz defenders and certainly yep. someone who has spoken so well of the Eagles in the past. Here was our own Dan Orlovsky talking about his disagreement with this decision from Doug Peterson.
Who's doing as much or more for their football team than anybody? It's Josh Allen. And then go to yesterday's game. They take the huge lead. All right.
That is the wrong cut entirely in this situation. This is just par for the course. Blame the sugar. Here is Dan, not talking about Josh Allen, talking about the Eagles.
It's a terrible decision. It's a terrible choice. I mean, it's 4th-and-12. You're playing the team that had the number one pick last year in the NFL draft and a rookie quarterback at home. If you can't beat that team, the tie means nothing. In the NFL, Doug, you know this. It's win or nothing. It's win or nothing else. A tie is a loss. Doug Peterson, where's the guy that called Philly special in the Super Bowl? Where's the guy that went for it on 4th-and-3 in the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots? I understand your team's playing poorly. To go for it on to punt on 4th-and-12 sends a very clear message to your football team that you don't think they're any good.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I've essentially been verbally punting on 4th-and-12 here during this segment. And so, Chinay, I will ask you, looking at this situation, a tie as an athlete, the mere notion of it has to be so hard to stomach. Looking at your head coach now after that, knowing what Dan just said there, we expect you to have the confidence in us to go out and get it.
Look, I understand why he did what he did. I wouldn't have stayed watching that game with the plethora of games on, cheering on Zach Ertz on my fantasy team if I thought the game was going to end in a tie. But it was a smart move, especially when you look at their division. A loss can really hurt a team. A win can really help a team. And so I guess he stayed with his car in neutral, but athletes need their cars, their motivation, and overdrive. So the message, Dan is absolutely correct. The message he sent is wrong. I get why he did what he did. In my head, the first thing that came to my head was like, scared money don't make money.
Yes.
And so this is a team where it seems like they're more scared of their opponents instead of instilling the fear so that they can actually get back to the team they want to be.
And I guess what we heard Dan mention there, Chinay, was just that. That was never the ethos of this Philadelphia Eagles team. When Doug Peterson's been in town, it's been all gas, no brakes. But what we've seen so far this season is a very broken Carson Wentz and a guy who just does not seem to be any shade of the guy that was one point the MVP candidate before his injury and before that Super Bowl winning season. So I'm just baffled by this because especially early on in seasons as a player, I was always pushing for, let's go for it on fourth down. We earned the right to do that. That's a thing
yes.
you practice. These are situations that you map out during training camp. I get it's a different year. But you work these with the understanding that, all right, we're going to be a team that goes for two, goes for it on fourth down, and we've earned the right to expect that based on the way that we've practiced. Philadelphia has generally tended to adopt a lot of that, and so I'm surprised that in a key situation against an opponent that Dan's right, I don't care how many injuries the Eagles have faced, they should be able to beat the Bengals. I'm shocked by the decision-making in this particular instance.
I mean, it's just one of those scary parts where, like, as a player, you'd be thinking, oh, you have more confidence in Burrow than in me. And how am I supposed to get out of my own head when I have a coach making these calls? Would you rather lose in that situation knowing that you tried? I probably would.
I always would. I don't think anyone knows how to feel after a tie. And while I don't think it's worse than losing, and I understand your points about the division because that's going to be a tightly contested division amongst a lot of teams that don't look very good right now, so everything matters. I still think you would always rather, you know, come back on your shield, you know, with your shield or on it than leave and all of a sudden
yep.
have your hands up and not really know what to do in this situation. All right. We've gotten our opinions on this, and snaps to us for that. Nothing going my way during the segment. It's a disaster. And so instead of me trying to do any more fumbling on here, coming up next, we're going to ask our ESPN NFL analyst two questions. What would she have done in that situation? And how old am I, actually? That's all coming up next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Nailed it.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy birthday to you. Happy... Sorry. Totally forgot. I forgot. Only Chinay sings on this show. Boy, does she. It's Sarah Spain. Happy birthday, Gojo. I hope you're having a great day so far. I bet you have big plans for later involving lots of donuts and maybe some kisses from pugs. A lot of thigh, heavy thigh. Some short shorts and fire kicks. In fact, I'm almost certain you bought out half of StockX as your own birthday present to yourself. So guessing that closet's getting a workout. But I hope you have a fantastic day. I love being your colleague. I love being your friend. Of course, always appreciate you and Chinay being such a great opening act for the real star of the lineup, Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern every weeknight. But love you, Gojo. Have a great birthday.
The incomparable Sarah Spain. With a great plug for our neighbors to the north, Spain and Fitz, that you can catch right after us each and every weekday there. Incredible. And she is not wrong. 4 doves on the sneakers app the other day. Look what she's God did.
Totally wrong about my voice. I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, we will not stand for that. Though she said a lot Thank of you. Nice, flattering things about me, which I appreciate and, you know, certainly love. Sarah's an incredible friend and colleague. I will also defend your right to sing on air and ability to the hilt.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Awesome. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And we're delighted now to bring in another friend on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. We are joined by ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes, who famously thought that I was 28 years old today. So, Mina, I appreciate the credit age-wise there.
I was, you know, when you're guessing an age, you always shave off a few years. I think, that, you know, I was trying to do you a solid there, Gojo. But I will say, I thought you were younger. I did.
Yeah, you know what? Understandable. I kind of ooze that youthful energy. My long, my strong, illustrious hairline certainly indicates that as well. So all of those things playing into my favor, Mina. And listen, we want to talk to you about a lot of what's getting ready to come up tonight in the NFL, what happened this weekend. But we did have breaking news out of the NBA. You're a Los Angeles resident, Mina. And Doc Rivers now out as the coach of the Clippers. And so I'm curious, as you look at the situation, how shocked are you that a veteran team with a veteran coach in a short window to get things done made this move?
It feels like one of those situations where a team that obviously had a disappointing result relative to expectations, including my own as someone who picked the Clippers to win it all, felt like they had to do something. And then you look at your roster, you look at your cap, you look at who's available out there, and it feels like the only move you can make, right, is something we see in the NBA. There's no basketball explanation. There's certainly no managerial or personal reason. It kind of feels like a move for the sake of making a move.
It does seem like that. And I think with Steve Ballmer as your owner now, you can understand the urgency that probably drives these decisions a little bit different. ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes with us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Penzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Penzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. Mina, we saw Sunday afternoon, your Seattle Seahawks took down the Dallas Cowboys in a game that looked much more akin to the Big 12 than the NFL. And I'm curious, while this isn't surprising with the air raid Seahawks this year, how concerned on the other side should Cowboys fans be with the way their teams perform thus far?
Not terribly concerned, because here's the thing. They play in the NFC East, and I don't know if y'all have been paying attention to what's been going on in that division, but it's pretty much, I'm trying to think of a generous way to describe this, garbage. So I don't think they have a lot to worry about. I mean, they look like the best team, which is amazing to say about a squad that's 1-2, barely, right? An onside kick away from being 0-3. But you mentioned that the Seahawks look like an air raid team. So does Dallas. Honestly, so does Green Bay. I don't know how you can watch what happened last night and feel good about that defense, right? I think Alvin Kamara broke approximately 400 tackles. I didn't count exactly. But and by the way, guys, that's something you're seeing a lot across the NFL, right? Like, offense is up, scoring is up, defenses are down. In fact, the best defense is one that's playing tonight in Baltimore, and playing an offense that could very well make me eat my words in Kansas City. But this is a trend we're seeing across the league. You're seeing, especially in the NFC, a lot of deeply unbalanced teams. So while, yes, it is concerning that Dallas's defense looks so bad and that, you know, that they caved on special teams as well, I don't think they're alone in that respect.
Speaking of which, here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst and one of the hosts of NFL Live on Janae Angola Jr., we've been waiting on this day forever. Not Gojo's birthday, but Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Ravens. I know you probably dissected this matchup through so many angles. What are you most excited for tonight?
I am excited to watch the Ravens defense against the Chiefs offense. That's sort of the strength on strength matchup, because I think on the other side of the football, the Ravens rushing attack has a clear advantage. And we'll see. You know, for the Chiefs, the formula is pretty obvious. Get ahead and hope that Lamar Jackson has to throw. Not that he's not great against throwing. It's just that they've been so dismal against the run. But, you know, Mahomes through 2 weeks has not been Mahomes. I think in week one they had a pretty clear game plan against that Houston defense, but last week that Chargers front seven really dominated Kansas City up front. Mahomes was bothered. Then you get to the second half, he starts doing Patrick Mahomes things. But it, this is a very challenging matchup for them. Baltimore really upgraded, I think, up front, adding Calais Campbell. And they've been stricken by injuries. They lost their slot corner, Tavon Young, which is not a name you hear a lot, but actually has a real ripple effect in a secondary that already lost Earl Thomas. Suddenly you have to move Marlon Humphrey inside. And oh, wait, here comes Travis Kelce to town, right, along with the rest of that Chiefs passing attack. So I think for the Chiefs, I wouldn't call this a get-right game for their offense, but it's a matchup I'm really curious to see from a coaching perspective, from a talent perspective, and one that's frankly pretty hard to predict.
And it's a great preview for tonight. That Monday Night Football kickoff is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. And Mina, I want to stick with the name that you just mentioned there, Earl Thomas. Our own Field Yates tweeted out about an hour ago the Texans are bringing in former Raven safety Earl Thomas for a workout, his first since being cut by Baltimore. We obviously know the circumstances in which he departed, that practice fight, and a lot of what appeared to be bad blood in that locker room. What does Earl Thomas still offer as a player, though, potentially to a team now?
Well, the last we saw him with Baltimore, he was still one of the better cover safeties in the NFL, right? Now, you got to think there's probably some sentiment around the league that his skills are diminished, because otherwise it wouldn't have taken this long to sign him. And yes, obviously the off the field, or I guess it was on the field, antics factor into that. But this is the NFL. If you're still good, a team will find a way to make it work. So the fact that they haven't, or that it's taken this long, certainly makes you think that teams around the league don't believe he is what he was as a player. But, you know, we're talking about a Houston Texans defense that it frankly could use bodies, anyone back there, and they're not alone in that regard. So you got to think he's got something to offer them. And it's a Houston Texans team, frankly, that has been, well, the schedule gods did not smile on them, right? I mean, consider, you know, having to play the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers. Things have not come easy. I wouldn't be surprised if suddenly we look up or look down and they're 3-3 and we think, oh wow, maybe they weren't as bad as we thought.
You can follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes. Check her out as a part of the new NFL Live crew for Eastern here on weekdays on ESPN, and check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, appreciate the time as always.
Thanks,
today.
Mina.
Extra treats for Lenny.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, bud. Talk to you soon. The illustrious Mina Kimes. And man, Earl Thomas, for all the campaigning he did to get to the Dallas Cowboys, maybe Houston would be close enough. It's still in Texas, technically, so
I mean, 0-3 will do some things to you.
It'll make you look at a lot of things right now. And like she said, we know the Texans eventually find their way into the postseason every year, so that 3-3 prediction and a
knocking
brighter future
on wood
for them, probably not something we can count off just yet. All right, but speaking of the NFL, coming up next, an NFL legend makes maybe the biggest play of his life off the field. We'll tell you what that was next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Teddy Bruschi here. Golic Jr. Miss our weekly conversations about football, man. I heard it's your birthday. You have a good one. Everybody here from Sunday NFL Countdown, happy birthday, youngster.
Happy birthday, Mike. I see that you're starting to get more into your 30s, which means you're getting more washed. Welcome, where life gets harder and easier at the same time.
God, ain't that the truth? The great Teddy Bruschi, Cassidy Hubbard, our friends and colleagues here. Appreciate all the love today. Appreciate everyone who sent a video along. Really, really cool. Really, really touched. Chinay, appreciate you, everyone here on the staff, for putting this all together. Super cool, you guys.
It's your day. It's your day. Do your dance. Do your dance. Do your dance. Hey.
Also, Cassidy is so right. Every day I wake up with something more hurt than the last. Every like all the memes and jokes, like, it's funny, haha, like your back hurts every day when you turn 30. Like,
it's real.
It's not a game. It is not a game. I shouldn't have to foam roll. I'm not an athlete anymore.
I had a friend that stopped playing pickup basketball at 30 because he was like, I can't do it anymore. So you're still a year over that. So you're good. You're streaking. Good job. Congrats.
Somehow, some way, finding a way through all of that. So we will try and survive and not pull anything in the home stretch here on Chiney and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and it has been that kind of day. Chiney's kindness has thrown me off a little bit over here. I am full of sugar, full of Chipotle, but certainly feeling good right now. And we've managed to still keep this thing going. We've managed to get everything going in the right direction. So
we're still here.
We're still here. Most importantly, we haven't said anything to get ourselves fired before Monday Night Football tonight. So
facts.
Let's keep the energy going up until that. Cliff. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
How about this for energy? What a wild story out of California. This reported first to TMZ. Joe Montana and his wife had a scare on Saturday when an intruder came inside their house and tried to kidnap one of their grandchildren right out of a woman's arms. Law enforcement sources told TMZ Sports at 5 p.m. on Saturday, a 39-year-old woman entered the home where Joe and Jennifer Montana were staying. She got in through an unlocked door. The intruder saw a woman holding a baby. It's unclear who was holding it. The law enforcement say the intruder walked away with Montana's grandchild to another part of the house where she was confronted by Joe and Jennifer. They wrestled the baby away from the woman. The intruder got away. She was later apprehended. But how about, we talk about dad strength all the time, mom strength, grandparent strength. Raise
Let's
up
go.
On this one from Joe Look, and Jennifer.
That's the whole vibe. That's the whole energy. Don't mess with the grandparents. Like, they're sitting on the lawn. They're watching everything. And to literally go and get your baby, that's a hero. That's a real hero.
You know what?
Yeah.
They'll get a lot of other congratulations. I don't think anything's going to matter as much as the snaps from Chiney and Golic Jr. Certainly,
I mean,
really glad everyone's okay there. What a terrifying situation.
Super scary, but you got to act, and they did, and I'm glad everything sort of, you know, stabilized and worked out.
Absolutely. Great news for their entire family, and we certainly
Crazy
wish
story,
everyone.
Crazy story, though. You're right.
I mean, who just walks into houses and starts snatching babies?
First of all, like, what happened to the door lock?
Well, I mean, you can understand people.
Oh,
like,
it's California. Yeah. I forgot. We don't do that out here. That was one of the biggest adjustments I had to make when coming out here. They're like, oh, leave the door open. I was like, what? I'm from Texas. We don't do that.
We do not leave the door.
And in Connecticut,
unlocked.
You don't do that either, especially in the night with no streetlights. Nah.
No, but like, you know, if you're home and everyone's hanging out here, maybe you got the door open, you're enjoying that Cali weather.
No, but usually what I discovered is that, like, you're so rich that, like, you have security that's watching for you. So you yeah. Learn that.
It's a fair point. Joe's probably doing all right, that situation. Keeping that same energy in a very different light, Cowboys defensive tackle Tristan Hill had a late Gator roll. People might have seen this. It was out in the open in their game against the Seahawks. Chris Carson ends up limping off, and I think I saw Pete Carroll's comments as a sprained knee now that's going to leave him questionable going forward. But because of Tristan Hill going out and essentially a late play, a dirty play, Gator rolling over on his knees. This is something that I understand the politics in the bottom of piles is something that we kind of legislate a little bit less. But this is so blatantly beyond the code of most situations. Keep that same energy, man. There is, I have a feeling, some brand of unwritten rules, street justice coming in some situation here next. Because a lot of players, especially teammates, aren't going to take kindly to you trying to blatantly injure one of their own in that situation. And no one goes below the line at Chiney, but you know how it is. It's a little extra juice in the body of any given play when you're going after a guy who all of a sudden was seen going after one of your own.
And I'm glad you're telling them how you're really feeling, because by having his name run through these streets, he better learn his lesson, because otherwise people will, like you said, street justice.
There's just no excuse for that situation.
Especially, and, like, come on now, when everyone's, like, doing their best with what they had to make the season work. Like, don't do that.
Well, you understand in these situations, Chiney, that, again, I don't know Tristan Hill. I don't know whether or not to say he's a good or bad guy, but I know the action in this situation is one that we cannot condone, that isn't condoned, because, like you said, everyone's trying to eat and feed a family.
Yep, exactly.
But in some good news, how about this one with about a minute left here? History made yesterday in the Browns-Washington game. For the first time ever in the NFL, women were on both sidelines coaching and on the field officiating. That included Cleveland Chief of Staff Callie Brownson, Washington Offensive Assistant and Intern Jennifer King, and Sarah Thomas, the official who in 2015 became the first full-time female official in league history.
Hey, ladies, show out. I'm here for this. But, you know, as we shout them out and we give them snaps, can we give them snaps?
Absolutely.
Happy birthday! It's your day!
Yes.
You survived. Happy birthday.
Survived. We made it through. Thank you to you, Chinee, for all the generosity.
No, it's all of us.
Thank you.
It took a team.
It did. It took a team here to pull this off. I appreciate everyone around here. I love all you guys. I love our work family here, my friends and family who all shouted out and created videos along this. Spain and Fitz is next. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks for listening to Chinee and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.